When he came to, he was drowning. The water was black, and he bobbed up in it swiftly, obscurely aware that it was dangerous to do so, but he was helpless to stop. He tumbled over and swam downward, arms loose and thrusting like tentacles, but it was useless. Air popped out of him in a stream of white bubbles that flattened and shimmied as they squashed upward, all clustered around, bearing him to the surface. He glanced up, suddenly aware of the idea of surface. And there it was, an undulating sheet of obsidian silk on which chips of raw silver skittered wildly back and forth, a flock of startled birds turning all at once. No, it was, he thought, as the world began to roar, the shattered image of a crescent moon. At the thought, a whole cosmology bloomed in him, and broke apart like the moon's image, as he crashed up into the air and gasped. He flailed at the water, whooping and kicking hard to stay afloat. He felt a wave lift him, and flopped around to face it. A cold smack in the face, and he tumbled again, thrashed through a somersault and came up breathing, barking like a seal to suck in more air. The next time under, he rammed a sandbar, and then he was rolling on a steep shore break, sluiced by sandy water and struck repeatedly by small silver fish. He crawled up through rushing foam, mouth full of salty grit, hands sinking wrist deep in the wet sand. The little fish leaped in the phosphorescent foam, banged into his arms and legs. The beach was bouncing with silver fish. It was like an infestation of insects. On hands and knees, he couldn't avoid squashing some into the sand. At the high water mark, he collapsed. He looked across a gleaming black strand, filigreed with sea foam receding on a wave. Coarse-grained sand sparked with reflected moonlight, and the fish arched to the shape of the crescent moon, which hung over the horizon at the end of a mirror-flake path of water. Such a dense, intricate, shifting texture of black and white. A large wave caught him, rolled him back down among the suffocating fish. He clawed the sand without effect, then slammed into another body, warm and as naked as he was. The receding wave rushed down to the triple ripple of the low watermark, leaving them behind, he and a woman with close-cropped hair. She appeared senseless, and he tried to pull her up, but the next wave knocked them down and rolled them like driftwood. He untangled himself from her and got to his knees, took her arms and pulled her up the wet sand, shifting one knee at a time, the little silver fish bouncing all around them. When he had gotten her a few body lengths into dry sand, he fell beside her. He couldn't move. From down the beach came shrill birdie cries. Children ran up to them shouting, buckets swinging at the ends of their arms like great deformed hands. When they ran on, he could not move his head to track them. They returned to his field of vision, with taller people whose heads scraped the moon. The children dashed up and down the strand on the lace edge of the waves. They dumped full buckets of wriggling silver leaves in a pile beyond his head. Fire bloomed and driftwood was thrown on it, until transparent gold ribbons leaped up into the night. Then another wave caught them and rolled them back down to the sea. The tide was rising, and they would have perished, but the cords of a thrown net stopped them short, and they were hauled back and dumped closer to the fire, which hissed and sizzled. The children were laughing.